Dr. Larry Kaskel. You should listen to him if you know what's good for you. Of course, you should listen to him even if you don't know what's good for you. Here's the healthy skeptic, Dr. Larry Kaskel, MD.
Good afternoon. If you are a lady listening, you may want to listen a little closer than usual. My guest today is a Dr. Kiari Kershaw from Northwestern Medicine, and she recently did a study looking at 82,000 women and showed that increased stress will increase a woman's chance of developing heart disease. So Dr. Kershaw is here today to tell us a little bit about her study. Dr. Kershaw, tell me and our listeners just why you even did this study. Why was this study done?
So despite a common notion that chronic exposure to stress is related to higher CVD risk, what we found was that the epidemiologic findings were quite mixed, with many reporting no association. So we took advantage of the Women's Health Initiative, a very large study, 82,000 women, as you said, to try and overcome some of the limitations or potential reasons for differences across the studies. So we're hoping to find a more definitive answer.
So you looked at data that already existed from the Women's Health Initiative. This was not a new study. Just
no,
a study of a study.
Yes, exactly.
Got it. So
yeah.
Keep going. Tell me how you did it. What kind of women did you look at?
So these are postmenopausal women, a multi-ethnic cohort, so white, black, Hispanic, American Indian, and other race ethnic groups. And the specific limitations we're trying to overcome, so one is the way heart disease is defined. So there's criticism of the existing stress and heart disease literature because definitions often include angina pectoris, which is often based on self-report of symptoms. So some researchers contend that individuals who report higher stress may also be more likely to report higher symptoms of angina. So that might bias the findings. So we restricted our definition to exclude those who reported angina and focused on myocardial infarction.
So I have a question before we even get into the results. And you may or may not be able to answer this, and don't worry if you can't. So if you take just a 40-year-old woman off the street with really no risk factors for heart disease. She doesn't have high blood pressure, doesn't have high cholesterol, her parents didn't drop dead at a young age, she doesn't smoke, she's not diabetic. The usual risk factors that we look at. This is just an average 40-year-old woman. What's her calculated baseline risk of, let's say, having a heart attack in the next 10 years? Do you know what that number is so we could make sense of how much the risk would increase once we look at stress?
I don't know. I know you can estimate that from the Framingham risk score. I know people use that. I think it's quite low for someone without any of those risk factors present.
All right. So sorry to throw that at
low.
You. I wasn't trying
no,
to pimp
okay.
you
No, I'm not actually a cardiologist, so I don't know the exact number, but I know it's very low if you don't have any of those risk factors.
Right. So let's say, I don't have the number in front of me, but let's say it's 2 or 3% is a 10-year risk of having a heart attack just for a 40-year-old woman. What does the findings of your study, I mean, how much does adding stress into the equation increase the risk? Are you able to kind of quantify a number, or is it just an increase and we don't really know how much?
Yeah, so it's mainly just a kind of a relative increase, and it was fairly modest, I would say. So the hazard of developing heart disease increased by 12%. But it's almost entirely explained by those different risk factors that we talked about. So we're not thinking stress really occurs independent of those risk factors. It just may increase your likelihood of engaging in unhealthy behaviors or through pathophysiologic pathways put you at greater risk for certain metabolic disorders that could lead to increased risk of CHD. So not really independent of those risk factors that you mentioned.
So it's a compilation. It's a mix of all sorts of stuff that would lead to an increased risk of heart disease. What What were the exact findings of your study? What did you come up with?
So we found that independent of, after adjusting for demographics, so age, race, ethnicity, and socioeconomic indicators, education, income, and depressive symptoms, that stress as measured by accumulation of stressful life events and also by stressful social relationships, higher stress was related to higher incident heart disease and incident stroke. So you were 12% more likely to develop heart disease and 14% more likely to develop stroke. And so that was independent of those kind of those risk factors. And then the next step was to look at whether or not it was occurring through those behavioral or biological pathways. And we found that it was mostly explained by waist circumference and diabetes, so more of those metabolic pathways.
So to a listener listening to this show today, what can they do to de-stressify? I know there's no such word, but, you know, we live in a world that is not going to change. The stressors are not going to magically disappear. We can't take, unfortunately, the pills don't get rid of the stress. They may decrease how we respond to the stress. But what would you tell this, you know, any woman listening right now, what can she do besides stop eating sugar to decrease her stress? I mean, it's really hard to, how do you do that?
Well, yeah, so there are a couple things. I mean, I think some of, part of it, so from the kind of social relationships part that we found, is to try and help limit, if you can, your interaction with people who are kind of more takers than givers. So some people that you interact with can make you feel more stressed. So hopefully pick friends that support you and don't take away as much or cause more stress in your life.
Get rid of the Debbie Downers and the girls who call you and just suck the life out of you by telling you how miserable their lives are. You gotta cut them off. So for you to be more peaceful and live longer, you gotta get rid of the human toxins in your life.
Exactly. Yeah, that's one that you might be able to control. The stressful life events are kind of out of your control. But
Chiari, I would have no friends left if I did that. I mean, all my friends are miserable.
That might be bad too.
And they bring me down. But I hear you. All right, so we gotta stop answering the phone, or at least looking
at
it.
Don't talk to anyone.
Block out all the girls that are bringing you down. What else can they do?
The other thing, I mean, even if you still eat sugar, maybe exercise more. So, I mean, increasing your levels of activity can help, because some of that will reduce your development of diabetes and weight and central adiposity. So finding other ways to cope with stress, activity like yoga maybe, running, walking clubs, things like that. So I think finding other ways, better ways to cope, and removing those human toxins are my kind of biggest suggestions.
So Dr. Kershaw's saying find a yoga class with normal girls in it, none with any emotional problems.
Have emotional problems, don't talk to them.
Don't talk to them, even during class or after class. Where can someone see the study? Where can they find it to read it?
So it's published in the Journal of the American Heart Association, and it's freely available. It's an open access journal. So you can search for the paper with my
name. What's it called? What's the study called?
Associations of Stressful Life Events and Social Strain with Incident Cardiovascular Disease in the Women's Health Initiative.
Wow.
Really boring title,
it is. Dr. Chiari Kershaw, thank you for the information. And you can go to www.feinberg.northwestern.edu. I'm Dr. Larry Kaskel, the Healthy Skeptic on Radio MD. Don't let anyone do your thinking for you. And stay skeptical, my friends.